Today, I was asked to tackle the topic of submission. And I have to admit, I was a little nervous about that. It's not one that we jump out of our seats to talk about. But it is very important. And it is a topic that's in Scripture and very clearly defined in Scripture. But the reason why I was nervous, and I'm sure you can relate, is that submission is not a word that the world loves, right? And it's sometimes not even popular in Christian culture, in modern Christian culture, because we kind of only talk about it when we're getting married. And even then, that can cause some discomfort, ruffle some feathers a little bit if we don't understand what submission truly is. But it is a word commanded by God, and so that makes us ask, why? Why is God calling us to submit? And I want to give a little Bible study tip, especially to the high schoolers. Whenever you come across a biblical command that rubs you the wrong way, or perhaps it's frowned upon by the world, don't run away from it. Don't jump into doubt and question. Well, you can ask questions, but don't jump into doubt. Run straight to the source. Dig deeper into the word. Ask yourself, what does this command reveal about the perfect character of God? What does it show us about what he cares about what he values? And how did Christ, the God-man, the perfect Savior, how did he obey this command? We can apply that here in this situation. I think of it even when you're reading tough books like Leviticus or Old Testament law. You can think, stop and think, this may not seem relevant to me right now, but it matters to God. He included it in his word. And so take the opportunity to dig deeper. And if you then take that command and you study it and you apply it rightly, you discover all the more the purity and the loyalty of Christ's love for you and the goodness of glory and glory of who God is. And that's what we want to do this morning. I want to do this very exercise. I want to explore why submission matters to God, why it should matter to us, and what does it look like? The scriptures on this topic are actually way beyond Ephesians 5, submitting to husbands, though that is very, very beautiful and important. There's so many scriptures about submission. And so I'm kind of going to give you just an overview rather than looking at very specific types of submission. I hope that maybe even in the Q&A, we can get a little bit more specific and practical about what submission could look like in our lives. But I kind of want to just give you this grander view of what it can be. Because often our view of submission, because it's informed by the world and what the world thinks about that, especially feminists, our view of submission could be too narrow, too simplistic, or misguided. Submission really is about having a meek and humble heart. And it's not only for wives. God calls all believers to submission, even single women. And he first and foremost tells us to submit to him. James 4, 7 tells us to submit to God. He tells us to honor our parents and in a way submit to them, especially before marriage. We are also to submit to the government, as we see in Romans 13, 1, church leaders in Hebrews 13, 17, and even just to fellow believers. That's in Ephesians 5, right before he starts speaking about submission and marriage. And so it's very clear that it's important to God. But before that, I want to talk a little bit more about this submission problem or the issue that our culture has, because I think we have to go back to Genesis a little bit to get why it's such something that we're resistant to. Any resistance that we may have to this idea of submitting to another person, whether it's the world's issue with it or even our own heart, it often stems from our craving for control. We want control. We know from Genesis that Eve failed to submit to God's very first command because she coveted control that was not intended for her. And then, in the curse described in Genesis 3:16, we see the sin cause long-lasting damage because now, in the fallen world, women would try to continue to wrestle for control and be liable to defy God's design for relationships between men and women. And we see that in feminism today. But, as always, there's good news. We have the good news of the gospel, And we also see that proper submission in a heart redeemed by Christ reverses this curse that may pop up in marriage and in our relationships. Submission is an opportunity for a believer, whether married or not, to exercise trust in the sovereignty and wisdom of God. Submitting to someone else often calls us outside our comfort zone, but it does call us to genuinely walk by faith. Often we tense up and we defend our short-sighted view of what we think is best, specifically what we think may be easiest for us. But submission, however, calls us to relax and to trust the eternal purposes of God in our life. And it also calls us to welcome his will to sanctify us and to glorify himself. Unless we are asked to outrightly sin or we're in danger of any kind, our submission becomes a conduit for God's grace to work in our relationships. It's a chance to feel our need for him, to draw near to him, to entrust ourselves to him like a sheep does its shepherd. It's an act of love and surrender, like when Jesus said to God the Father, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And we also have to know that what submission is not. Submission is not blind obedience forced by another person. It's wise and freely given deference to another person. It's not restrictive. It's wonderfully protective. God has given us this command to protect us. And it's intertwined with God's good design for his creation. If we keep the gospel and the example of Jesus at the forefront of our hearts and minds, we see how submitting to others brings about lovely fruit in the life of the believer. And we're going to talk more about that. But if you're taking notes, I have a few headings to, you know, you can keep track of. The first one is the submission of Christ. First, we're going to look at how Christ shows us the perfect example of submission. The next one is our submission to Christ. And then the last is our submission in Christ. How does he empower us to obey his command? So the first one, the submission of Christ. I was actually, you know, very thankful to see that we sing that song, Holy, 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 because it speaks about the Trinity. And even the idea of submission goes back to the Trinity. We see from the creation account in Genesis and even just throughout Scripture that God is a God of unity, order, and peace. And submission plays a crucial part in forming those wonderful things that we do appreciate. Everyone loves peace, right? Order, unity. I don't think the world would argue with us about those things, but submission is a necessary ingredient for those things. And God, as the author of life, has established authorities in our lives to provide structure and stability. All authority reflects God's ultimate authority to some degree. And where there is leadership, there has to be a form of submission. And this is even on display in the Trinity. We worship a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And those three divine persons dwell together in perfect unity. We know in Genesis 1:26 that God says, "God, let us make man in our image." The Father, Son, and Spirit are one in essence, and yet there is a relational element to their being. We see this most clearly through Christ's life, when he asserts his oneness with God the Father, and yet declares over and over again his allegiance to God's plan. And if we want to see the beauty of submission and see the perfect model of it, we look no further than our dear Savior who followed the Father's will to the very end. Jesus says in John 4:34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." And Jesus readily admits his interdependence with the Father. He also says, "I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me," John 5:30. He goes on to say in John 8:2, "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him," John 8:2. So Christ submitted, and he submitted because he was always seeking to do what pleased the Father. And that's the first point of application for you. Remember, that is the goal, pleasing your Heavenly Father, pleasing your Savior, when you're in a situation where you need to think about honoring an authority in your life, whether it's a teacher or a coach or your own parents, when all those thoughts are racing in your head, I'm like, but I want to do this, but this seems so much better. Why are they making me do this? You stop and you say, but what is pleasing to my Father? Are they asking me to do something that is in accordance with God's word? Or how can I be like Christ and have this humble attitude toward what they're asking me to do? Christ submitted even when his Father's plan required him to drink the cup of wrath. That's such a weighty truth in and of itself. But now, if you have your Bibles, I also would like to jump to Philippians 2. You probably know this scripture pretty well, and for good reason. It paints such a clear picture of Christ's ministry on earth as a humble servant. I had my Bible. It's a little hard to open it on this thing. But I have it also in my notes here, so I'm just going to read from my notes. But let's start in verse 5 and read from there. He says, Paul says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. When we consider the idea of true godly submission to an authority in our life, we can't separate it from the idea of service and love. Christ, who was unified with the Father in every respect, submitted when the cost was at its highest, to the point of death, and he succumbed to the lowest of lows. And he did so that we may be unified with him, and that we would have peace with the Father, and that our hearts would finally be in proper order with the filling of the Holy Spirit. You see that unity, peace, and order? And I want to continue on in Philippians 2, because this is where we get to our next point about the submission of Christ, then compelling us to submit to Christ, our submission to Christ. Philippians 2 goes on to say, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's a key phrase in there, and it's that Jesus is Lord. The very same meek man who gave his life on the cross is now the resurrected King of Kings and victorious Lord of Lords, who will one day be rightly exalted by the entirety of creation. As God says often in Scripture, the humble will be exalted. And now us, in this day and hour, we are called to submit fully to him and to his word. I referenced James 4:7 earlier, but it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We know this, that when we trust in Christ, we have a new master. We belong to him. When we confess belief in Christ, we confess him as Lord, and we come under his leadership. And Jesus' lordship spearheads our faith, making submission to him a necessity and a joy. He's our good shepherd now. We heed his voice, his command, and he is truly trustworthy and in control of all things. And we glorify him when we then, in turn, honor those he has placed over us in his sovereignty. So whether it be government officials or the police, and yes, even husbands too, God in his perfect providence has placed these people in our lives to guide us, to grow us, and to enact his good purposes. This takes us to the last heading, our submission in Christ. So we know that Christ is our Lord and that he has called us and commanded us to submit. whether it be to our parents or to our husband. But sometimes it's hard, or sometimes we get confused, and we come to a place of struggling to submit. Maybe when we're making a big decision and we disagree with our husband, or we disagree with our parents about where we're going to go to college, or if we can continue a friendship with that person. These are big decisions that seem to be the world to us. And we again have to remember that when we need to submit, Christ never asks us to do anything he hasn't already done. He's gone before us. He's showed us the way. And we can be willing to submit, to love and obey, even when it seems impossible or doesn't make sense to the world, not because of our own sheer will, but because of the fact that Christ went before us and his spirit is now in us. And he has called us to a higher way of living than what we in our own flesh would choose. He calls us to follow him and take up our own crosses. And yet, even when he commands us to do that, he doesn't leave us behind. He doesn't vainly hope we can keep up with him as he commands us to do these hard things. He compels us to take that path of life, and then he goes with us as the author and perfecter of our faith. He empowers us step by step to make those difficult decisions and to, by his spirit, show us what is the wise way. In another passage that talks a lot about submission, we see that submission is just simply a part of God's will for us. 1 Peter 2:15 makes that clear. And then Peter also, again, I know we keep going back to Christ, but that's the best thing, right? Paul or Peter also speaks about Christ's example in 1 Peter 2:23 through 25. He says, when Christ was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Christ endured all of the suffering for our sin because of his all-encompassing trust in his Father. And our willingness to submit to God-given leaders in our life is closely linked with our peace and trust in Christ. Are you, when you're making that decision or when you're considering what it looks like to submit and obey authorities, are you depending on him, on the Lord, and on his word, or on yourself? Are you fighting for your own way? Or are you seeking to walk wisely, to walk in love toward your neighbor, to speak the truth in love if you are in disagreement? Are you carrying yourself with humility and integrity and walking in a manner worthy of Christ who submitted and suffered out of love for you? Now, I want to get a little bit more practical here. High school girls, your primary order of business is to honor your parents' authority, especially in this season of life when you are nearing adulthood, you're preparing to be launched out into the world. You need their guidance more than ever. And if you have questions about others, about submission in your life, whether that's like to a teacher or to a coach, go to your mom, go to your parents, go to a respected older believer in the church and talk through those things with them. Again, submission is not blindly disagreeing with what someone else says. You can disagree, but you can also always show respect. And moms, your example of submission to your husband, to other leaders in your life, is so impactful to your home. It really affects the whole atmosphere of your home. That peace and unity and order should be something that describes your home. And that comes from, if you're married, from your relationship to your husband and your willingness to submit to his leadership and support him. It also, your example of submission affects your witness of the gospel. That goes for both moms and daughters, right? This is one way we adorn the doctrine of Christ our Savior, as it talks about in Titus 2, by obeying his word, even when it comes to this, the difficult command to submit. But now the last passage that we'll go through is Ephesians 5. We had to go to Ephesians 5. This chapter has the well-referenced verses about submission of wives and marriage. Yeah, go ahead and turn there, because we will be scanning through that chapter. It has those well-referenced verses about submission, but it's really enlightening to look at the chapter's overall context. Before jumping to the end of the chapter, from the very beginning of it, Paul is building a beautiful picture of the Christian life. And before we consider specific commands to submit and honor others, especially in marriage, as it talks about, we have to take on that humble attitude of the heart that God calls precious in his sight, that gentle and quiet spirit. When you become a believer in Christ, right, we know the older self of rebellion, unbelief, selfishness, uncontrolled passion has to die. And the new self takes over. Paul talks about this elsewhere, that we need to have a completely new attitude of patience, graciousness, and respect towards other believers. And so, starting even in verse 1, Paul tells us to imitate God and to walk in love. And in verse 6 through 10, he reminds us not to be deceived, to walk as children of light, to try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And even then, jumping down to verse 15 through 17, he says, look carefully how you walk and understand what the will of the Lord is. Part of proper submission is using your mind. We emphasize the heart because Scripture does, but Scripture also speaks to our mind. That's why the world thinks submission is being a doormat, doing nothing, a very passive role. Submission is actively trusting the Lord and seeking his wisdom. We have to discern, as Paul says, what is pleasing to the Lord. It's not thoughtless acceptance of a leader's words. We know that even our church had that example during COVID, right? We know that God's word always has to be the baseline, and our leader may tell us to do something that is not right, and we have to think about that. Even if your friend is telling you something, oh, it's okay. I don't think it's a big deal. Let's go do this. That's your chance. Exercise that discerning tool or discerning power that you need to have as a believer to figure out what is right, what is wrong. And that's a big part of submission. We submit according to God's word, and we often need to defer to the interests and preferences of what others may have for us. But we don't follow anyone into sin. Submission may lead to difficulty and may require us to sacrifice, but it should never lead us into spiritual darkness. And then moving on to verse 21, we see the most pivotal point. Paul's ingredient list for beautiful godly living, including giving or being spirit-filled, worshipful in song, and giving thanks, then culminates in this submitting. He tells us to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. When we pursue unity, peace, and order in the church and with one another, we're imaging God. And he desires that unity in his people. And submission is one way we can imitate Christ. One way we can walk in love. One way we can carefully walk. And so when we understand this humble attitude of submission rightly, submission in marriage and other situations makes much more sense. And it's such a beautiful thing and not a divisive thing. I don't know how much time I have, but to close, I just wanted to go again back to Christ. In John 6, 38 through 39, he says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." Here, Christ exemplifies again to us humble submission to God. And then in the very same thread, he proclaims that he will uphold all believers to that same end. He will uphold us as we seek to honor him in all things, even in this area of submission. Peter 2 says, "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor." Honor is very important to God. Submission is very important to God. And I was just so blessed studying all this myself. Because again, I think we think only of marriage. And I wish I could talk more about marriage. There were so many different forms of submission we could talk about. And so I would encourage you, if you have questions about it, talk to your small group leader, talk to your mom, talk to me if you want to have, if you have any questions. But just remember, especially young ladies, how you carry yourself now, that humility you take on now with the authorities in your life now is also going to impact how your relationship with your husband will be someday. Start now. Start cultivating that heart of gentleness, meekness, quietness, which is not passive and weak, but wise and trusting in the Lord, and will be a help to your husband. But to close, I'm going to pray, because I was so nervous I forgot to pray at the beginning. And I just, yeah, so thankful for God's word. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time, how special it is that we can gather as women and gather around your word. And Lord, even tackle difficult topics like this that may be tough to understand at first, but your word gives clarity. And Christ himself and his example inspires us to obey as he did. And his spirit will help us to that end. Your spirit will help us to honor those around us, to not fight for our own way or to fight for control, but to humbly yield to others and to walk in wisdom toward others and to carry ourselves with meekness and respect toward others. We thank you, Lord, that you give a clear way to bring about unity and peace and order in our lives and in our relationships. And I just pray, Father, that our hearts would be teachable, that we would consider these things and be ready to, Lord, live out your word, not just to hear it, but to be doers of the word. And I just thank you, Father, again, for the sufficiency of your word that you've given us to just guide us in this life. Thank you for being our good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.